In South Australia, state opposition leader Nicola Centofanti has introduced a bill based on the so-called Nordic model, which penalises the purchasing of sex work but supposedly decriminalises those who sell it. While some see this as a policy that protects sex workers, multiple sex worker activists and organisations say that the policy puts sex workers in danger and has largely been a failure in countries where it has been put into practice. Organisations like Scarlet Alliance, who we have spoken to before on Indie Media, say that full decriminalisation is what sex workers want. They want it to be treated as a labour issue. And this model is backed by the World Health Organization and Amnesty International. There have been multiple failed attempts over the past few years to alter South Australia's sex work laws, which criminalise all aspects of sex work. To talk about the issues with the Nordic model and ideal policies for sex worker rights is activist and co-host of Sex Worker Podcast, It's So Hard, Tess Louise.
I'm a sex worker living and working in Borloo, Perth. I also am a representative for DFMWA, which is a collective of current and former sex workers who are lobbying for the decriminalisation of sex work in Western Australia. We also work in conjunction with Scarlet Alliance, which is the big body in Australia that sort of keeps us all in touch with the interstate groups. I'm also a peer educator at Magenta, which offers support to sex workers on the ground, also provide an anonymous clinic there. And I don't usually mention this part, but I thought it might be relevant this time. I'm also a client of sex workers, so I, use the services of sex workers and also pay for their education and things like that as well.
So you've been on both sides?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, great. Interesting that there's, so many different organisations across the country because the laws are so different state to state. So in South Australia, they're trying to bring in what is called the Nordic model, or by a lot of its advocates, the equality model, or the Scandinavian model or whatever. So what is the Nordic model? How would you describe it?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point that you just made there as well, is that we do have different laws state to state, and that does make it a bit confusing. So we are specifically talking about South Australia at the moment.
Yeah.
So in South Australia is the only state in Australia that currently has a criminalisation model, which means that the provision of sex work or sexual labour for either payment or reward is criminalised.
Yeah.
It's quite confusing. For a while, we thought that maybe going to the client's house would not be criminalised, but actually that under the definitions of a brothel, that would make that house a brothel, so that is criminalised as well. So we've sort of been a criminalised framework there. But recently on the 30th of August, there was a bill introduced to the South Australian Parliament by Nicola Centofanti, which proposed that instead of criminalising the sex worker, the bill introduces this idea that maybe we could be criminalising the client of sex workers. And this is quite a problematic legislative framework. There are four legal models that we see sex workers working under all over the world, and this is our least favourite. We have seen it used in Sweden, Northern Ireland, Canada, France, South Korea and Iceland, and in each of these jurisdictions, the model has failed to deliver on any of the benefits that the proponents of the model suggest it will. We actually see an increase in violence towards sex workers and an increase of exploitation within the sex industry as well, which is actually so not what the proponents think will happen. But what we tend to find is that under a model where the client is criminalised, that means that a lot of clients don't seek out sexual services in the first place, but also those who tend to be able to set the terms of that arrangement and tend to be able to suggest where things will happen and what will happen within that time frame, and also can tend to screen sex workers instead of sex workers screening clients as well. So we just find a lot more of that going on. Typically under these frameworks as well is that, some of the proponents might use the term partial decriminalisation, but that's not actually the case because it means that sex work is still in the under the criminal code. It also means that the third parties are still criminalised, which means that it's, you know, still usually considered illegal to live off the earnings of sex work, which is a really confusing way of saying that basically being able to advertise is impossible because that would mean the advertiser is seen as exploiting you and things like that. So, and it means that working together is quite impossible because it can mean that sharing resources and things like that puts each other at risk of being viewed as exploiting the other. It's just so not workable. And when you think about like sex workers just being people who are earning a living, sex workers work, just paying for rent and things like that, it doesn't really make sense that in any of these workplace practices that are quite normal would be criminalised.
Yeah, it sort of makes it virtually impossible for sex workers to have community, to sort of help each other out and really like individualises and isolates them. And
and that would actually be increased as well. Just sorry, I'll get ill.
No, carry on.
It is actually quite disturbing because at the moment in South Australia there is a risk that of entrapment because police do have powers to pursue sexual services and then criminalise the sex worker, whereas this would actually mean that also the clients, seeking to access sexual services could be worried that the sex worker is also a client, is also a
oh, leader. True, for yeah, sure.
Yeah, so this is on top of, it's not, yeah, it's really quite disturbing. And it also means that police will be concerned about when we're sort of talking to each other and sharing safety information, sharing industry knowledge, as every industry does, this isn't an unusual thing, that we would be confused about who is a sex worker.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, I imagine it makes it very difficult to vet clients and to be able to trust clients because, like, they're already doing something illegal. I was talking to my partner who's done some sex work and, she was saying, like if they're already doing something illegal, then they might be, you know, fine with going out of their way and doing more illegal stuff.
Yeah, that's it. And we also see that it kind of turns into the client's market, if you know what I mean. It kind of means that there is more competition because a lot of clients won't engage with the industry so much anymore. It'll also be harder to find the industry because advertising will be pushed underground. And that means that also for sex workers, might be more selective about who they do see, and then the client can, the rates will essentially halve. That's usually what we see in jurisdictions where this has happened.
Like rates of like pay that you can get as a sex worker?
Yeah, that's it. So the payment tends to about halve. And that's actually a really scary idea because one of the most protective factors for sex workers is having a stable financial income, which I would say is probably one of the most protective factors for anyone working under capitalism.
The people from below will push for real change.
In the media. What kind of groups support the Nordic model? Like, what kind of, like, sex workers use this term, SWERFs, similar to TERFs, sex worker exclusionary radical feminists. Can you tell us a bit about those kind of groups?
Yeah, look, I don't want to, like, paint everyone with the same brush because I have come across people who, you know, when we talk about sex worker rights and sex workers having access to, because we would like to be, have access to workplace health and safety and anti-discrimination laws and stuff like that, and all of that is sort of available if we're removed from the criminal code and put under industrial relations law. That's sort of what we would like across Australia to happen, and that's what we call the full decriminalisation of sex work. And so I guess in the course of these discussions, I have come across people who have thought, oh, okay, if there are risk factors for sex workers, should the clients be criminalised if they're the problem, if you know what I mean? So there can be that myth in there that maybe if clients are the problem, could they be criminalised? But and usually just through the course of like the things that I've already said around like, you know, no, sex workers work and that would be as silly as saying if someone's being exploited working in a cafe, then maybe cafes should either be illegal or cafes should be illegal. It doesn't really make sense. That's off the course of income we want clients to be seeking paid.
Which on that note is something that happens all the time. You know, I've got I'm sure all of our listeners have themselves or have friends who've worked in the hospitality industry and, you know, have thousands and thousands of dollars of unpaid penalty rates and, you know, are forced to work days where they aren't normally available and stuff like that. Like, exploitation in work is a very common, normalized practice in society.
Yeah. And I think the extra step that SWEFs would be taking is that they're not necessarily seeing sex workers work. They're seeing it as inherently, like, sex to be inherently exploitative, or sex for pay to be inherently exploitative, and not something that under capitalism we've decided is sort of the best situation, the best option for us. Given our options for work. And it's sort of viewed in this case where it's seen as the reason I almost think in circles when I think about this, because it doesn't really make sense. But the idea is that, like, it seems like homelessness and things like that are driving people into sex work, and that makes sex work the problem. It means that they don't have a choice. But actually, sex work is often the solution to some of these things that are sort of brought up as reasons for the Nordic model. And the Nordic model actually means that we don't have access to the laws that would actually decrease exploitation. So things like, it is actually already illegal under industrial law to, for example, for a child to be working or for somebody to be trafficked or whatever. We already have those things in place, and we just need access to it as an industry. And it's also tied up in the myth that these things are a problem in the sex industry, specifically from a moral place or a moral argument, and that the industry should be eradicated. Whereas generally we would feel that as sex workers, we tend to feel that this is a labour rights issue, and that we would like to see our movement as considered as a labour rights issue, and sex work to be considered work, not exploitation.
Yeah, look, I also see it as quite naive. You know, it's you know, prostitution is commonly called the world's oldest profession. It's not something that's ever really going to go away. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely know. It just drives the industry underground and makes it more dangerous to use the Nordic model. We tend to find that when sex work is decriminalised, that means that we have lower rates of STIs. We already have, like, lower than the general public's rates of STIs in Australia.
Oh, yeah, because you take more care, right?
Yes. Work, you know, it's work considerations. And we also just find that when we're given support to earn money and to given the same benefits and protections that any other industry is given, that is, like, as I say, like, one of the most protective factors, and also gives us the most opportunities to set up the infrastructure in our lives if we want to move away from the industry.
Yeah, for sure. So in South Australia, sex work is fully criminalised under the criminal code. You know, it's solicitation, it's purchasing, all this stuff. Like, the Nordic model bringing in some form of legitimization, I'm playing devil's advocate here, do you think it is potentially a better situation than what they have now in South Australia, or could it be worse?
I think it would be so much worse. What we've seen in overseas is that, violence does increase, that coercion does increase, and the powers of third parties does increase as well. I should also say, I should have mentioned this before, that stripping is still legal in South Australia, so that is the name that we do consider strippers sex workers too.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Full service, so actually having sex for pay is illegal. And so this change would actually, it would mean that sex work in under the criminal code is considered, that piece will not be criminalised, but we will still see sex work or prostitution as it's listed in the criminal code all over the place, because third parties, it would be like a similar situation to what we have here in Western Australia, which is that a lot of the activities surrounding the work that you would need, or the practices of sex work, would still be criminalised. Very hard to avoid criminalisation in these other sort of other ways towards criminalisation would be difficult to avoid, and on top of that, contending with the client being criminalised just adds a whole other layer of exploitation, and also fears surrounding accessing clients and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. So you've touched on it a little bit, but what is the situation here in WA?
So the situation here in WA is that sex work itself is not criminalised. So it is legal to be a sex worker and to access sex workers. However, we just have sex work is still listed in the criminal code because so many of the practices surrounding sex work are still criminalised. We do find that some number of sex workers can still work legally and can still carry out a business legally. However, it creates this two-tiered system where also a lot of people can't, and that means that, you know, there's still, and for those who can, there's still no benefits and protections that we would see if sex work was decriminalised. So things like, for example, you know, there's still complications around discrimination around housing. There's still a lot of complications and discrimination around COVID. We didn't have access to the same options around continuing running a business because it's still not considered a business under the law. It also makes complications around like how record keeping and things like that. Banking discrimination is a huge one that we're still struggling with. That's a really tricky one because that's sort of either Australia-wide or like international issue, but it means that, you know, here within Australia, within Western Australia, we don't really have a foot to stand on if, like, it's very hard to prove that you're working legally if you don't have, like, the framework and supports that you would need to, and enough of an income to manage it and also, like, find all the ways that you can't, it takes a lot, it basically takes a lot of effort. It's not very workable. It's totally outdated.
Like, you can't...
Very confusing.
Like, you can't do sex work under, like, an ABN.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, and if you did, you technically could, but we don't have anti-discrimination, so you would definitely be losing opportunities around renting at the moment and things like that.
Yeah,
for sure.
It would
also mean that you're going to be discriminated against if you try to get a loan. So actually using the money becomes very difficult.
Yeah. So what like, jurisdictions in Australia get it right? Because I hear good things about the laws in New South Wales, and there was some recent efforts in Victoria.
Yeah, so we have seen sex work decriminalised in New South Wales. Victoria is in its second stage of transitioning to decriminalisation, and in Northern Territory has some really great... So it has been decriminalised in Northern Territory in 2018, I believe, and they have some really great... they're taking some strides as far as... anti-discrimination laws. So I believe the attributes of both sex work and sex worker are protected in Northern Territory. And
yeah, great.
Being able to work out of hotels and things like that is possible. So that's really cool to see. And Queensland very recently announced the intention to move towards a decriminalisation model. So we're waiting to see what that will look like. So Australia has been seen as a leader in this campaign and decriminalisation as well. Like it might sound a little bit like out there for sex work to be given the same rights and opportunities as anyone, as any other industry, but it has been, Amnesty International, the Global Alliance Against Trafficking in Women, and the World Health Organization all back this model. We have seen evidence across the world that this is the safest model for sex work history working under, and we have seen evidence that the Nordic model is the least safe model for sex work history working under. We would like to see decriminalisation across Australia.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's about all we've got time for. How can our listeners help support sex worker rights?
So sex worker rights, so if you keep an eye on what Scarlet Alliance are up to, they are asking either sex workers or anyone in South Australia, definitely helps us out if non-sex workers are willing to do this as well, emailing your local MP and letting them know that we would like to see sex work decriminalised. So that's definitely something for if you're in South Australia, please get onto your local MP. If you're in Western Australia, give Decrim WA a follow on socials. We're sort of chipping away at our lobbying here. And, in if you're sort of anywhere else in Australia, definitely get onto the Scarlet Alliance or like keep an eye on their socials as well. They're on their website, there's a few media releases about this if you'd like to learn more.
Yeah, huge shout out to Scarlet Alliance. That's how I found out about this story. And then it was an absolute task doing any sort of Googling about it. And the only stories I found were like very much pro Nordic model and didn't really go into some of the issues with it and stuff. So yeah, definitely ups to Scarlet Alliance.
Yeah, that's it. That's where you'll find all the sex workers' perspective on it. I also have a podcast, It's So Hard. So
hell yeah, really good podcast.
Yeah. If you'd like to learn more about some of these, we do a bit of a deep dive. I think around between episode 50 and 50 and 60, I think we went into the Nordic model quite a bit. And I also spoke to Sasha Thins, who is a local sex worker who's also worked in Canada under the Nordic model. So this episode comes on this topic as well.
Yeah, great. Yeah, we'll put that up on our socials if I bloody remember. Yeah, thanks.
He's going to be on again soon. It's So Hard, so definitely keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, we chatted about like trans-based discrimination in the workplace. It was a really good chat. Yeah. All right, we'll let you go. Thanks heaps, Tess. You've brought so much light to this issue. Yeah, I'm sure we'll have you on again.
All right, anytime. Thanks so much, Jenny.
Awesome. Thank you.